let's open up to Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. You find that place, you're able, let's stand together. The book of Colossians chapter number 3. You pray for us tonight that the Lord help us. And we want to try to honor the Lord. And I pray God do just that. I sure appreciate those good songs that was sung. And what a blessing that is. The book of Colossians chapter number 3. And of course, listen, you can't get into probably any richer doctrinally when it comes to the person of Christ than you'll find in the book of Colossians. And it's almost like the fellow who wrote it must have knew him pretty good. Amen. The Bible says this in the book of Colossians chapter 3, verse number 10. We'll read down a few verses and try to give you what I feel like the Lord has laid to our heart. It said, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. He said, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Bible says, verse 14, "And above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness in one body, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Turn with me, if you will, back there just a little bit in the book of Galatians, chapter number 3. I'm going to read there and then one more place and we'll be done. Bible says in the book of Galatians, chapter number 3, verse number 27. He says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Then turn back with me, if you will, just one more place, the book of Romans, chapter number 13. Just keep flipping left in your Bible. Romans chapter 13, we'll read one verse and we'll pray, ask the Lord to help us tonight. And you pray God to do just that. Book of Romans chapter 13, the Bible says these words. I'll start in verse number 11. Said, "And that knowing the time, that it is now high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Bible says the night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, nor in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and in envy." He said in verse 14, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you one more time. And God, we sure thank you for letting us come back to the house of God. And Lord, we thank you for the good songs of Zion we got to sing. God, I thank you for the hymns. I thank you for the spiritual songs. God, I thank you, Lord, as they got to singing that song. And God, surely we have just passed by on our way home. Father, I thank you tonight. And God, this world gets a little stranger, but heaven gets a little sweeter. And Father, I thank you tonight that God, that the longer we're in this way, and God, the more there is a longing in our heart, and God, not just for heaven, but to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to God, I thank you tonight, and God, that the longer we're standing, and God, the more comfort we get in our standing with Christ. And I pray tonight that, Lord, you'd help us one more time just to preach on that. And Father, I pray, God, you'd make preaching easy tonight. I pray, God, you'd focus our hearts and our mind, God, I pray, and God, that the hearts would be receptive to the word of an almighty God. And Father, I didn't come to do anything tonight other than to brag on the Lord Jesus Christ and to thank you, God, one more time. And God, that there was a day that you reached out, and God, you plucked me up out of the pits of hell and set my feet on a rock and established my going. I pray, help me now, Lord. That be my prayer. It's in Christ's name and for his sake. tickle on, I pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want you to notice several instances here. As we was reading, the Bible says this. In the verse number 10 of Colossians 3, he said, and have put on the new man. In verse number 13 or 12, he said, put on therefore as the elect of God. In Galatians 3, the Bible said, as many as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And we find in Romans 13 that the Bible says putting on Christ. And so over and over we find that phraseology, that we are to put on Christ. Let me say this to you tonight, friend. I started thinking about this and I started a little research today about why it is that most folks do not come to Christianity based on what they are around. And here's some answers tonight, and I hope that we'll listen with a sober mind. And the first thing I found was this. It said the reason most people aren't interested in our Christianity is because there are folks that have they've made it hollow Christianity. In other words, this is the truth of the matter. It said that there are folks that they talk about how much they love the Lord, how much they love the church, and how much they love the Bible, but it never changes the way they act. It never influences their home. It never impacts what's going on in their workforce. And my friend, it has no bearing. And let me say this, thank God, if this is the only place that this Bible makes an impact, and my friend, there's something desperately wrong with what you have. Amen. And so I'd say, first of all, and they said that it's hollow Christianity. And then they said, secondly, and the reason a lot of folks aren't interested in it is because of hypocritical Christianity. And that is where folks talk out of both sides of their mouth. And they say that this is what they're going to do. And then they do this over here on the other side. And so, you know, we say things like, and we're against gambling, but then we go buy scratch offs. And, you know, we're against liquor, but then we drink wine. Hey, you understand that's a confusion. And when I say we do, I mean we absolutely do not. Amen. And just in case anybody did not pick up on that. And so listen to me, friend. And there's the hypocritical. And so thank God that whatever you say, your life ought to support that. Amen. And your life ought to stand by it. But then they said this. And the reason a lot of folks think that there's not much to Christianity is because of how it's been hijacked. And they said that politicians hijack it in order for their platform. And if somebody ought to say amen right there. I doubt you'd be able to find half a dozen good saved people in the Senate or the House. Amen. And thank God, listen to me. I don't want to get real mean right here. How about you hear me and hear me well, friend? And when it comes to President Trump or Biden and the rest of them, how they might be a part of the Catholic Church or a Presbyterian Church, but if they're in this church, we'd already kicked them out. Amen. That's the truth. Amen. And now listen, thank God, I'm not for that nonsense. And we're not for that filthy language. And we're not for the way they treat folks. I mean, unless I'm again it. Amen. I pray for them. They're our president. Whoever's next, I pray for them too. But if you think they're an independent Baptist, you've lost your mind. Amen. I don't know how to say that. Thank God. But I want you to listen. They hijack it for their platform. They hijack it for politics. They hijack it for publicity. Oh, listen to me, friend. I can't. This is sort of. I hope nobody get too mad at me here tonight. I didn't got to the message yet, but I'm already feeling a lot of liberty. Amen. And that's mighty dangerous sometimes. But I want to say this to you, friend. This Bible is not intended to make you a public figure. Amen. And now listen, thank God, I don't understand why now everybody that's got an iPhone has to have a podcast. I don't understand why it is in our day that all of a sudden every time anybody's doing a Bible study, they got to put it on Instagram to try to gain more followers. And that is not the reason nor the purpose for Christianity. Amen. And so they've hijacked it. And then they wonder how come it is. And then on a Saturday morning, you've heard me say this, and they've got a picture of their Bible in their coffee mug. And then they're talking about how much they love in the Lord. But then by the time they go to the restaurant, they're being mean to all the waitresses and the waiters. And they saw that. Amen. And they saw that.
And then we've got the other ones. That's what they said. That's the reason most folks not interested in Christianity. It's because those that have hijacked it are for profit. Amen. And the Creflo Dollars and the Joe Osteen. And look up here at me. And they, listen, and they ain't a bit more saved than a man in the moon. Amen. Unless Brother Nathaniel says it like this sometimes. I like it, so I'll say it tonight. If Joe Osteen's a Christian, I'm a helicopter pilot. Amen. And that's the truth, thank God. And you say, preacher, I would not have said that. I'm telling you, friend, anybody that'll deny Jesus Christ and deny literal heaven and deny literal hell and deny that Christ is the only way, he is an antichrist. Amen. And that's right, thank God. And now listen, I don't look here. I don't know you, Sausage. You say, preacher, I like him and he makes me happy. And well, listen, I'm going to tell you this. And the devil makes a lot of people happy for a while. And but listen, hell will be their home. Amen. And that's right, clouds they are without rain. And they're wells and they ain't got no water. And they are deceiving many folks. Amen. And so listen, here's the reason. And quite literally what it comes down to is that most folks, when it comes to Christianity, and they think it's a put on, and they think the whole thing is just some big put on. And guess what? And they're right, amen. And this thing is a put on, amen. It's just not the same kind of put on that they think it is. I'm not pretending, amen. But I have put somebody on, thank God. I'm going to say to you today, it is a blessing to stand here and to know that my standing in Christ is not based upon my merit. It's not based upon what I've done good or what I've done bad. I'm glad my standing tonight in Christ is because I have put on Christ. Amen. Oh, yes, friend, I start thinking about this. There's two different parts to this thing. And the Bible says, as many have been baptized into Christ, and they have put on Christ. And that is salvation. Amen. And then in Romans chapter 13, he says, having put on Christ, and make no provisions for the flesh. And that's sanctification. Amen. And that is to say, thank God, and that when I got saved by the good grace of God, and God rescued me out of hell and put me in his darling son, and my life is hid with Christ in God, and you couldn't find me if you wanted to. I'm so deep in Christ, and his hands are around me, and the Father's hands are around that. I'm sealed by the Holy Ghost until the good day of redemption. I'm talking about that's a good standing. But because of that standing, and when I get up in the morning, I don't want to look more like Christ every single day. Amen. I thank God, no different. You put on your shirt. And you say, preacher, why with the Lord? And use that terminology over and over. I don't know if you know this or not, but by and large, what we have is a naked problem. Amen. And you understand we always have had a naked problem. And from Genesis chapter 3, and the first thing they had in Genesis chapter 3 is they were naked and they knew it. Amen. But now listen, don't fall out on me. But you want to understand how bad a shape we're in today? It's not changed from Genesis 3 all the way to Revelation 3. There's a naked problem in Genesis 3. There's a naked problem in the Laodicean church and in Revelation 3. You know what the difference is? In Genesis, Adam and Eve knew they were naked. But in the church of Laodicea, they don't even know it. Amen. They don't even understand it. You understand tonight, friend. Thank God where you're at right now. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God's quick and powerful, and is sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing even to dividing asunder, and soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And the Bible teaches us, for we're his creatures. He said that, listen, we're all manifest in his sight, and naked with whom, and before the eyes with whom we have to do. In other words, God looks over mankind, and he either sees this, and you're naked, meaning you have no righteousness of your own, or you're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Amen. There's not two ways, thank God. I mean, there's those just two ways. There's nowhere in between it. And you say, preacher, what difference does that make? Listen, this whole thing's a put on. I mean, this whole thing, it come down to it. If you got in Christ, hey, you had to put him on. Amen. Hey, you said, how to put him on. I thank God you didn't do it. It's just like Wally or any of the rest of these babies. Somebody clothed them. Amen. they didn't clothe themselves, if you don't like what they're wearing, if they didn't pick it out, amen, if somebody put it on them, and thank God as a 7-year-old boy, I didn't even understand. I knew, thank God, I was a sinner, but I didn't understand that I was naked before God. But that night, thank God, God clothed me himself, just like he did Adam and Eve. And thank God clothed me that night in the righteousness of his dear son. And I'm resting in that still to this day. Amen. Oh yes, thank God. I want to say this to you, friend. That's a mighty big blessing when you realize this whole thing. It's just a put on. Amen. I mean, listen, let me give you 3 or 4 things. And I'm going to be done what I'm resting in. I'm resting on, thank God, at this garment. And then I'm going to have to read this. As the Lord help me, and you say, preacher, what if I wanted to get something else? Here's what the Bible says in Isaiah 61, verse number 10. He said, I'll greatly rejoice in the Lord, my soul. I shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. I'd say this, thank God, God intends for every one of us to be clothed in his righteousness. Amen. And to look here, friend, I start thinking about a few things. I thought about, I'm glad for the day and that I put on a provided garment. And listen to me, friend, I don't know if you understand it or not, but man never was able to do much for himself, although he tried many times. I thought about way over there whenever you find him. I mean, Adam and Eve, they used the work of their hands and they put up rotted leaves. But you know what the problem with rotted leaves are? And they're dead and dried up and they didn't work. Amen. And listen, they clothed themselves for summer, but God made them a coat. Amen. To want them to be covered up and more than what they wanted to be. Amen. And listen, let me run that by you one more time right there. Adam and Eve put on bikinis and God gave them coats. Amen. He said, you're not near. Hey, you're not near as covered up as you ought to be. Amen. I'm saying, dear friend, hear me today. And let me just stop right here and go on record and say, I don't know if you understand it, but you know every place you find nakedness in the Bible, it's either demonic oppression or it's demonic possession. And thank God, listen, God's people are supposed to be clothed. Amen. Oh, what a blessing. I'm saying, thank God they show up. And Adam and Eve, and they took them little fig leaves, but they found out they was dead, and they found out they was dried up, and they did not cover their cells very long. And then you find man again. It's not too long. Not only they use rotten leaves, but they use ruined rags. Hey, I preached on it as Sunday night, but Isaiah 64:6, all our righteousness is as filthy rags. And now listen, you know the problem with filthy rags are? Now look here, now listen, I came from Scott County, and that means they're dirty, amen. And so the work of their hands was dead, and the work of their hands was dirty, and it would not suffice. But then we find in the book of Joel, and they used sackcloth and ashes, and you'd say, oh preacher, that sackcloth looks good, but I want you to hear me, it's destitute of power. You can rend your clothes all you want to, but God said don't rend your clothes, rend your heart. Amen. In other words, thank God, this thing ain't about an outward showing, but it's about an inward profession and an inward possession. Thank God. That's why a lot of folks is miserable, as they're pretending to have something on the outside that ain't never got down on the inside. But oh, listen, what a happy day it is when you realize that every effort you could make could never provide your own righteousness. And you say, preacher, what are we going to do? Good news, good news. And Matthew chapter 22, I read about a man who made a wedding garment. He made a wedding feast. And listen, when he came to those who was bidden, they rejected him. He said, go out in the highways and the hedges. He said, I like how he says this, Jordan. He said, bid the good and the bad. Amen. I like that real good. He said, thank God, I want you to get everybody, both good and bad. And verse 12, a fella came in and he said, "Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment?" Listen, he got an invitation, but he didn't put on the garment. And you say, "Preacher, that's not his fault." Oh, yes. And you understand, in those days, and when they would give the invitation, they would provide the garment at the door. Amen. And you just had to come through the door and you got the garment. Amen. But if you tried to come another way, you was found naked. And listen, I don't know how to explain it to you. If you had an invitation, it was the responsibility of the fella putting on the wedding feast to call you and to provide the garment. Good news, good news. There is a great feast, a great wedding place made in the heavens. Hey, listen, the invitation's given and the garment's been provided. Hey, you say, "Preacher, what I got to do?" Just come through the door, amen. And when you walk through the door, you'll find out the garments have been provided, amen. Oh, it's good, thank God. I wish it'd be better. Thank God coming sometimes. But I'm talking about it's good standing where we're standing. Realizing, thank God, I didn't have to do nothing. Amen. I mean, now this might not. Don't run out here and think I'm a Calvinist. On account of I ain't one. Amen. I'll tell you how little of one I am. I'm less than 1/10. Have 1/100. Have 1/1000th. Amen. That's real small. Amen. But I want to tell you this, thank God. The longer I'm in this thing, the more I do realize I didn't do a whole lot. Amen. The only thing I did, I was raise up my hands and surrender. I just surrendered to the Lord. And you say, "Preacher, what about that prayer? I prayed from my heart." Amen. And what words did you say? I don't remember. I just remember talking from my heart. Amen. And look here, thank God. I don't know about those folks, and they say, "Preacher, I remember every word I say." Well, you might have, but I was worried about going to hell. Thank God. Listen, friend, I wasn't trying to come up with the best prayer. I was just trying to say what works. Amen. You say, "What word?" When God saw my heart, amen, and my heart was toward Him, and it was away from the world. Thank God, with a heart, and man believeth unto righteousness, and with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. And my friend, when you realize, and when you got that in Christ, He has clothed you. Here's the good news. Thank God, let all the weight be done. You say, "Preacher, I don't know if the garment fits." I'll promise you, thank God. And now look here, I don't go. I tried to even figure out. And now I'm not real big. Everybody here knows that. But my garment right here be plenty big enough to wrap up these little fellas. I mean, I could take Wally or Harley and I could wrap her plumb up in it and you'd never see her. How best I can tell, thank God, I read about Christ one day in Isaiah 6. And when He entered in the temple, Brother Ipok, the Bible said that His train filled the temple. That must be a pretty big robe, amen. And you say, "How big is it?" It's big enough, thank God, that He could wrap up the whole world in it and provided it for us. I mean, listen, friend, we ain't got to make this harder than it is. And we ought to enjoy the freedom that we have and resting in the fact that the whole thing's a put on, amen. Oh, yes. I'm glad for the day, thank God, had we put on a provided garment. But then I thought about, thank God, I'm glad for the day I put on a precious garment. Oh, listen to me, friend. I'm not going to preach long tonight, but I might preach a little while. That's two different time frames. Listen, there's the time frame that I think is happening, and then there's the time frame that really is happening. Amen. That fellow gets in the glory world, and God gets to helping him, and he loses track of time. Amen. I don't know how to explain that, but thank God time sure does fly when you're having a good time. And you say, "Preacher, it's dragging." I can tell it. Amen. On some of them, thank God, that time's slow when you're miserable, ain't it? Amen. And say, "Man, that preacher's preached a long time. Listen, let me get back to preaching. Thank God. I want to say this to you, friend. All throughout the Bible, God shows us just how precious that garment was going to be to him. I thought about thank God over there. And whenever Joseph is in that place, preacher, he shows us that it's a beloved garment. It's a blooded garment. And you remember, thank God, that old Joseph, he had him on a coat of many colors. And it showed he was the favored son. But thank God, whenever they cast him in the pit, and you remember what they done? Have they dipped that garment in blood? And the Lord showed us how the coat of his favored son was going to be a bloody coat. And thank God, thank God. And friend, if there wasn't no blood shed, you and I couldn't be covered. That would never work. Amen. I'm sure glad it was a bloody coat. And you say, preacher, what did that do for us? I'll tell you what it done for Joseph's brethren. And thank God it took care of their shortage, didn't it? Amen. And that old bloody coat, thank God. And there was a famine in the land. And they was coming up hungry. And they was coming up short. You remember what he told Timothy? He said, with food and raiment, and therewith let us be content. And thou, thank God, you only need two things. And to be content. And you need food and you need raiment. And I'm glad, thank God, I've got a robe of Christ's righteousness. And I've been eating on the bread of life. And the only two things I need is the only one thing there is. He really is all that matters. Amen. I'm telling you, thank God, it's a bloody garment. If you're going to put it on, you're going to have to come to terms with the fact that it took the shedding of blood and to clothe at your carcass and to clothe mine. And you say, preach, I don't like that. I don't like it either. But that's what we was. And dead in our trespasses and sins. And just old dead carcasses. Until, thank God, Christ came by. And he clothed us with his righteousness. And then life sprang up in my spirit. And my soul's now secure. And what a standing we got. It's a bloody garment. But I'm going to say this, thank God. One of my favorite things to preach on is that it's a borrowed garment. And man, I like that. Every time I read over there in the old Bible, and Miss Jane and I get to reading about, and whenever Jacob was going to bless his boys, and thank God, listen, friend, or Isaac rather, going to bless his boys, and he wanted to bless Esau. But old Jacob said, I know what I'll do to get a blessing. He said, I'll just take his raiment and I'll put it on myself. One of my favorite passages in that whole blessed book is when the Bible said that the raiment was the raiment of Esau's, but the voice was the voice of Jacob. He was not fooled, amen. He knew whose voice it was. But he liked the smell of the coat so good. He said, I believe I'll just take them in anyhow. And man alive, and thank God, and we come in the house of God tonight, and the reason we can have joy and freedom, even though there's nobody better than 1,000 today, it's because our standing is not based on us batting 1,000. And God hears our voice, but he sees Jacob's or Christ's hands. He sees our voice, but he smells heaven. He sees our voice, or hears our voice. Thank God, but I'm glad tonight, friend, that what he sees and smells is the raiment of my elder brother. And so I stand here tonight with joy in my heart, and ready to run and shout, and not because I'm good, but because he's good, and not because I'm right, but because he's right, and thank God because he is, and so am I in this present world. Amen. Is that what he says? Oh yes. So we find it's a bloody garment. We find it's a borrowed garment. Boy, I like it in Luke chapter 15 when we find it's the best garment. Man, that old prodigal son, he comes back from that far country. And thank God, what a meeting, what a greeting, and what a treating. Amen. There's your three things that rhyme. Amen. But what a day when he comes in. and he smells like sin, and he smells like the far country, and he looks like the far country. And when he left the house, he had shoes on his feet, and he looked like a son. But listen to me, friend. Everybody hear me real well. And when you get outside the will of God, it will have an effect on you, spiritually and physically. I've watched many a folk go out of the house of God, and when they come back, they don't look the same. You say, what happens? That sin takes a toll on you. Amen. That sin takes a toll. That's why when you look at folks that have been on meth for 15 years, they look like they've aged 80. That's when you see folks that they've lived a lifestyle of sin and habitual practice. It just takes a toll. And so here he comes back, and he ain't got no shoes on his feet, and he's lost his identity. But when the Father sees him and he runs to him, he don't just stick a robe on him. He says, bring hither the best robe. Amen. Have the best robe, thank God. And thank God, that's what God shows us. And the preciousness of his dear son. It's a bloody garment. It's a borrowed garment. But it is the best garment, amen. And you say, preacher, would he put it on me? Oh, listen, ain't it amazing that God would put something so precious and he'd put it down on our soul? That brings me to my next point. Thank God I put on a permanent garment. Amen. And you say, preacher, and you say, preacher, how do you know it'll last? I read in Deuteronomy 8:4, and the Bible said that whenever God gave them raiment, and thank God from the time they left, Exodus 12, until they got to the promised land, and the Bible says their raiment, it did not wax old. And thank God, neither and did their feet swell. Oh, thank God. And you say, preacher, what's that mean? I don't know how to explain it to you, but at some point in time, 39 years into it, somebody had to look down and say, man, this thing right here looks as good today as it did 39 years ago. Joshua and Caleb, thank God, went walking in the promised land and still wearing the same garments that they came out of Egypt in. It never did get old. And you say, preacher, how do you know this one's the same? Because it's better, amen. Hey, listen, don't nobody get too excited. I know you ain't going to. It's a Wednesday night and you worked, amen. But thank God, maybe take it home with you and just chew on it a little bit. You know how I know this won't wear out? Have the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made have the righteousness of God in him. Don't look, I don't know how to explain it, but when God put on his son got interwoven into Kevin's personal DNA. You can't strip them apart. Thank God I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. Thank God, thank God. I'm glad it won't wear out, amen. I'm glad it won't waste away, amen. You say, preacher, how do you know? Thank God the Bible teaches us over there in the book of Hebrews. He said that for by one offering he hath perfected. What's that next word, amen? Forever, thank God. He's perfected forever. I'm glad tonight. Friend, if you put on Christ, by that one coat, you are perfected forever. I don't have two coats. Thank God. I just got one. Amen. I ain't had to have a summer one and a winter one. I ain't had to put them on three or four times. I'm glad what God put on me. It'll stand through the fire. It'll stand through the flood. It'll stand the test of time. I'm telling you, thank God, if you ever have God in Christ, you still are in Christ. You can't waste it away. You can't wear it away. I thought, thank God, it won't wither away. Amen. Say, how do you know that? Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank God. if it was righteousness then, it's still righteousness now. And you say, preacher, what's it look like? I'm glad you asked, amen. Y'all look like a talkative bunch tonight. I'll ask my own questions and I'll get my own answers, amen. He'll say, preacher, what's it look like? I'll tell you what it looked like when Christ put it on. If you got what he's got it on, look the same. And when Christ put it on the Mount of Transfiguration, and thank God they looked up at him and they saw it, said he was transfigured before them, and his raiment became white. And thank God. And listen, I'm talking about pure white. And oh, listen, no spot, no blemish, but pure white. And you say, preacher, I don't feel like I'm pure white now. Well, sometime what you ought to do is just open your Bible over to Revelation 19, verse number 8, and read about when Christ comes back riding a white horse. Let me say it again, when Christ comes back riding a white horse. Let me say it to you one more time. When Christ comes back, not riding on a donkey, not riding on something else, but on a white stallion. How when Christ comes back, and not as humble in his flesh, but in victorious as God when he comes back, riding a white horse. And you say, preacher, I don't believe in it. Have one of two things. I hope you have to walk, or God gives us a saddle for you. Amen. But I'm telling you, thank God, that Christ is coming back on a white horse and coming back with him. In Revelation 19:8, are the saints of God, and we have on a fine linen that's white and clean. Amen. What I got matches what he's got. Be hard to convince somebody that you're following Christ all the time. You ain't interested in being white and clean. See, this thing is a put on. But it ought not be the kind of put on that the world thinks it is. But the reality is this. I was telling a fellow the other day, I'm wore out. I might preach a little bit more in a minute. I don't know. I'm going to tell you this. I was talking to a fellow the other day, and he said, Brother Kevin, he said, I can't figure out why I can't get these people to do this. And these people, I don't know if you know this, sometimes I'm the counselor of the whole world. I'm not really. I do feel like that some days. But this pastor called me when we was talking about it. I said, Brother, I can help you. He said, what's the answer? How do you get them to do it? I said, you don't. I said, the reality is this. There's a lot of folks we're preaching to, and they're not sheep. They're goats. They're goats. And I'm not going to get frustrated because the goat's eating a tin can and I'm trying to give him green grass. Amen. I have before. I mean it. Thank God, why don't they like grass? And one day Jared just entered my heart. They don't like grass because they're goats. They don't like grass because they're goats. Every time they're not following me, but they're trying to butt me because they're goats. Amen. Yeah. The reason they're trying to fight at us, they're always getting out and not never coming back. It's because they're goats. Amen. Thank God, listen. If you got a nature of a goat and your appetite's a goat and your actions are goats and everybody you're around's goats and everything you like's goats, you're probably a goat. Amen. Say, preacher, what I do? Have to change that nature. Have to change your nature. Have to change your nature. All I know is this. He said, if any man be in Christ, he'd be a new creature. Didn't he say that? He said, that's what he said. I didn't say it. He did. You come up to that thing with one nature, and you leave with another nature. Now, I ain't telling you you won't sin. I'm going to tell you this. Everybody listen to me real good. Sheep, that's exactly right. Sheep that get in sin, they go home at night, and they ain't nary a night goes by that that thing don't grip their heart and grip their mind.
And if you just keep blowing through sin,
go ahead.
Just you ain't never put on Christ. You might have put on a good garment, and it might look good for a while. But I'm going to say this. Judas looked good for 3.5 years. Didn't he? He looked good for 3.5 years. He looked good to Peter. He looked good to James. He looked good to John. He looked good to Jerusalem. He looked good to the Sadducees. He looked good to the Pharisees. He looked good to the scribes. Everybody listening? He looked good to everybody. Except for one. Except for one. And that one said, he's been a devil from the beginning. He called him friend, but he never called him son. Oh, listen. I'm going to say this, and I've cleared my heart. You listen to me and hear me well. Make sure that you've put on Christ. Make sure that you're covered in the garments of salvation. In the righteousness of his dear son. When it comes time to stand before him, it's not how good you've been or how much you've done. Thank God I'm glad I can chuck all of that. I wouldn't count the best message I've ever preached or what I've ever felt in my heart. I'm standing before Christ because I put on Christ. Amen. Am I standing sure? And once he put it on me, can't nobody take it off. I'm done. Stand to your feet. I preached all